Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. So good to see you. Get myself together here. Okay. So, I am really excited. I'm always excited for our classes, if you haven't been able to tell. I always say this is my favorite class. They all are. But I am excited because we're starting a new module today. We're starting our creating awareness module. And it's similar to our deep listening skills. It's a three-session module. First two sessions will be training calls, and then we're going to have a creating awareness practicum as our third call for this module. Even though we're starting a new module, we're not done with deep listening. So don't, if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, we're moving on and there's still more places to practice, you're feeling all the right things. You're gonna continue to practice all of the listening skills. My invitation to you is to continue to come back to them, to play your edges with them. What's the next edge? What's the next edge with the listening skills? To continue to deepen those skills. When we teach and when we're in programs, we sort of have to teach things in a linear way, right? Like here's class one, here's class two. But the truth is that learning happens cyclically, not linearly. So we've kind of had our module on listening skills, but we're going to continue to come back to them. You can teach cyclically too, right? But it's not like we've been there, done that, and we're moving on. So, all that being said, our creating awareness module is a great next step after listening, because we want to be able to listen deeply to our clients in order to support them to have new awarenesses or go deeper with awarenesses. So, using creating awareness techniques is really about using your listening skills as well. So, with all of that, let's dive in. What is creating awareness and why is it so important? Well, creating awareness is literally the act of supporting your client to see something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to see. So that's one of the acts, is supporting your client to see something about themselves or their situation that they weren't previously able to see, or to support your client in being able to acknowledge and accept something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to acknowledge or accept, or to support your client in being able to more deeply embrace something about themselves or their situation. To embrace something that will help them become more confident or more clear or more able or more open. Creating awareness is also a strategy that allows your client to feel seen, heard, and loved even more deeply. And that's because when you create awareness, it allows the both of you, the coach, the practitioner, and the client, to see your client more clearly and hold them in that. Creating awareness can support clients to see their blind spots, their patterns, their achievements, their resources, their gaps. It can support them to really see their pain or their joy, their obstacles, their inner answers, their talents, and their deepest, truest desires. Creating awareness can sometimes, not always, but sometimes help create a breakthrough in an instant. It can sometimes help create a breakthrough in an instant. So take a moment and think on if this has ever happened for you. Maybe somebody, a coach, a practitioner, a friend, a colleague, a family member has reflected something back to you, and in that instant, you could see so much. So, the ability that, as I said, the ability to support a client in creating awareness stems directly from being a good and masterful listener. You can't create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard from your client on. That's maybe not 100% true, but it's easiest to create awareness on something if you've actually listened it, right? You've heard it from your client. One of my, I don't know if this is a coaching, I guess it's a coaching philosophy. It's an approach in sessions, is that I want to create an environment where my clients can be as aware of themselves and their situation as possible before we move on to the strategizing part of the session or the strategizing part of the coaching journey. And that's because when there isn't awareness of yourself, or your situation, there's too much that can be in your client's blind spots when it comes to then the strategy to co-creating the next actions that they're gonna take. And then when there's too much in the blind spot, that can either create an unsound strategy or false intuition about strategy and next steps on your client's part, or resistance to the strategy. So it's not that I never start out with strategy or start out with strategy at the beginning of a session, but I'd say, nine times out of 10, my approach is let's create awareness first on the situation, and then with that awareness, co-create next steps and strategize. Sometimes the creating awareness is gonna take most of the session. Sometimes the creating awareness is just 10 minutes. And of course, more create awareness gets created as you're strategizing as well. Okay, so there are a number of ways that you can create awareness with your clients. One of the top ways is asking questions. And we're going to do a full module on breakthrough questioning, plus continue to come back to questioning throughout this program. But for this creating awareness module, we're going to stick to non-question ways of creating awareness. So questions, huge way to create awareness. But here's some other ways that we'll be looking at over the next two sessions. What I call reflecting the truth. And there are a couple of different ways to reflect the truth. We're going to be focusing on that mainly today. Consulting is a way of creating awareness. We'll look at that. Acknowledging is a way of creating awareness. And there's different types of acknowledging that we'll be looking at next week or whenever we're meeting next. I think it's next week. Personal anecdote and storytelling is also a way of creating awareness. So much of the time, as I said, you're going to want to create awareness by asking really good questions. In many cases, this is a preferable way because when an individual hits on an awareness on their own without being told by someone else, it can often make a deeper impression and impact, right? When we answer, when we find it on our own, in our own words, oftentimes we can take it in more deeply than if we were simply told. It's easier sometimes to own the awareness if we find it in ourselves first. If you're ever around young children or older teenage children, you may have seen this to be true. There's such a difference between me telling my kids, hey, before you go outside, put on a coat because it's cold, versus them going outside without a coat, realizing it's cold and deciding on their own, ah, I need a coat. So all of that is to say, oftentimes we want to go with questions first. However, sometimes the piece of awareness that wants to be created is just so deep in your client's blind spot that questioning alone won't do the trick. Or sometimes the awareness is something that you know, you as the practitioner know, but your client maybe doesn't know yet because they haven't had experience with it yet. It's your expertise. Or sometimes the awareness is something that is going to be best integrated by the client if your client knows that it's something that you see in them. And then yet other times you'll just simply feel intuitively that sharing, reflecting the truth, we can call it, directly and clearly from you is what's going to make the most impact. It's almost like sometimes that's a dramatic, heightened moment of sharing what you see. So we don't want to use all of this as a default and then forget to use our questions, which can sometimes happen for practitioners. We'll look at that more when we get to questioning. We definitely want to rely a lot on questioning. But sometimes just the straight up reflecting to create the awareness is exactly what's needed in that moment. And I will say there are some coaching philosophies out there that will tell you never reflect the truth, only ask questions. And you can, you know, as I said on our first call, like everything that I'm sharing is for you to check out for yourself and see what works best for you. Some of it is a personal style thing. In my own coaching, I'm a big reflector and it's very purposeful when I do. So all that being said, let's dive into the skill of reflecting the truth, which again is just one way of creating awareness. And also just one way of reflecting. We're going to kind of look at a couple different ways of reflecting. So when I say reflecting the truth, what I mean by that is it's literally when you straight up share with your client what you're seeing or sensing. It may be based on them and who they are and what you're hearing. Or it may be based on wisdom that you've gleaned from your particular experience in conjunction with what you hear from them. And by the way, we're going to get there, but in case it's like your spidey senses are going off when I say reflecting the truth, it's not the truth with a T. It's always that we always want to go with the client's truth, but for now, we'll use that term. So let me give you some examples of what I mean when times that you may want to reflect the truth, straight up share what you're seeing or sensing. So, for example, let's say you're listening to your client talk about their partner, and you hear, maybe not because they say it directly, but you hear in between the lines that your client actually never forgave their partner for X, right? Something that happened 3 years ago. There's still resentment there. That's something that you might want to create awareness on. That's something that you might want to reflect. Or let's say you're working with a client and they say that they want to lose 10 pounds. But as you're listening from what you're hearing, you're not actually sure about that. It's sounding to you like maybe that's what your client's mother wants, but not what they actually want. Or maybe as you're listening to your client, you're hearing that your client is really overgiving in a certain situation, and that overgiving, it's not just an annoyance, but it's actually causing them harm. It's to their detriment. Or maybe as you're listening to your client, it sounds like every time your client accomplishes something, right afterwards, the next thing they do is kind of an act of self-sabotage, right? That might be something that you want to create awareness on. Or maybe you're working with a client and they're talking about everything that they want to do in the next week, and you hear that there's actually not enough time in the week for them to accomplish everything that they want to accomplish. You may know that from your own experience, right? If it's something that they haven't done before. Or maybe you're working with a client and they share that they want to raise their rates in their business, but you know that they haven't been willing to do the work on improving their sales call skills to go along with it. You may want to create awareness on that, right? So those are just some examples. But hopefully you can see from these examples that sometimes the truth that is asking to be reflected isn't necessarily an easy one for your client to hear. Sometimes it's not easy to hear, which is probably one of the reasons why they haven't already created awareness on it for themselves. There are a couple of different ways that humans respond to being presented with a truth. One way is they get it. They hear it, they understand it immediately, they have a breakthrough, and then they integrate. That's the easiest one. Yay! But there are other ways that human beings respond. Sometimes they can get angry or defensive or go into denial about it. Or sometimes, when presented with a truth, people can go into self-judgment. Or victimhood, or hopelessness, or they can check out, or they can get confused. So that's why you want to be really skilled and clear on how to reflect the truth, especially harder truths, so that you have the best chances of having your client hear it. See if it resonates for them, make an aligned decision from that place, and then understand it, and then have a breakthrough awareness to be able to integrate it. So, in a little bit on this call, we'll get into the mechanics of how to do this in a masterful way. But before we get there, let's take a look at some of the difficulties that a practitioner might have when they're choosing to reflect a truth. The mechanics are actually pretty, of the techniques are actually pretty simple. It's usually the inner pieces for us as practitioners that can make things wonky or detract from the delivery. So, what gets in the way of practitioners reflecting a truth? Usually, it's the fear of either hurting our clients or harming our clients or guruing our clients or having our clients get angry or upset with us. So I'll give an example from my own experience. This is from a number of years ago. I was working with a client who I've been working with for years, and we had a great rapport, a great working relationship. She had accomplished a lot through our work together, and actually through our work together, we'd worked a lot on her becoming really masterful at curriculum. She leads a lot of retreats and groups, and we worked a lot over the years at her becoming a better and better facilitator and better at creating curriculum. Well, a couple years into our work together, I noticed that even though she had become so good at creating curriculum, she was still wanting to go over with me every little piece of curriculum that she put together, like all the ins and outs. She wasn't sure of herself. And even though I love supporting clients to create curriculum, I could see really clearly that she didn't need my help with that anymore. She's super masterful at this. And that was something to create awareness on. So important for her because I could continue to help her create all the little pieces of her curriculum, but by doing that, she wasn't taking ownership of her mastery. She wasn't fully letting herself be confident about all that she had already, like all the knowledge she had and the expertise she now had in that area. But I had a moment of pause before creating awareness on this with this client because knowing her in the way that I did, I knew a lot about her relationship with her mother and how she often felt abandoned if her mother didn't want to help her with something, etc. Right? And so there was a part of me that's like, oh, I don't want her to feel abandoned. I don't want her to feel like she can't come to me for curriculum, or she feels like I don't want to do it, or I'm rejecting her, or anything like that. Right? So even though I teach this, right, I had to have a moment of pause before creating that awareness for my client, right? Because I was scared of hurting her. So fear of hurting others, harming others, guruing them, getting angry, or having them get angry or upset with us often stands in the way of reflecting a truth. Reflecting truth requires bravery. It requires checking your filters. It requires objectivity. It requires love and compassion as well. It also requires for you to be comfortable holding space for someone who is uncomfortable. It requires you to be comfortable holding space for someone who is uncomfortable. Because sometimes the confrontation with a truth can make a client temporarily feel uncomfortable. It can make a client temporarily feel judgmental of themselves, or maybe feel regret temporarily, or make them feel sad maybe temporarily, or feel too seen by you or too vulnerable. So as the practitioner, you want to be willing to sit in the shadows, to hold space for the discomfort, and to not feel like you want to run away from it. You want to lovingly be with it and with your client with full presence. So let me pause here. I feel like there's some things going on in the chat. Sophie's saying, my fear of harming or negatively affecting my client holds me back from sharing truth regularly. Yeah, I long to move through this. We're going to look more at that today. Rachel's asking, how do we distinguish between our ethical obligation to avoid harming our client and times when reflecting truth is uncomfortable but helpful? Rachel, if I'm understanding your question correctly, and I might not be, and if I'm not, you know, come on voice to voice. We're going to get to look at techniques for how to reflect. And in those if we're using those techniques, we're not going to harm our clients. We don't harm our clients when we reflect the truth. There are considerations we want to have and then ways that we want to do it. I'm going to go through all of those pieces today, but the result should never be that then there's going to be harm. Okay, Kendra.
I just had a quick question, and it kind of dovetails into what you were just speaking to, but in my mind, what I'm thinking, because I can feel that it does feel a little bit, there are times, I mean, honestly, where I've kind of held back because I'm like, I don't know how they're going to take this. I see it. I don't know how they're going to take it. So I'm thinking to myself, and I'm wondering what your thoughts would be on this. What if, is it okay to speak to it? Like, you know, is it okay for me to share a truth with you that I'm seeing? It may feel a little uncomfortable, but are you willing to go down this path with me? Like,
yeah, that is a part of one of the techniques that we're going to look at. And that language is beautiful. You don't need to use it in every situation, but there are some situations where absolutely that's going to be one of the markers where your client has agency every step of the way. Yeah. So you're totally on to it. We're going to get there in a few minutes. Michael is saying, it may sound weird, but I love holding space for clients when they are uncomfortable. I do too, Michael. Then as they resolve the discomfort and find a new truth for themselves, I can feel the shift and move with them through it. Yes, those are powerful moments. Yeah. Carmen's saying definitely fear of harming the client. Yes. Well, so let's get into some of these deeper, these inner pieces first, so we can explore a little bit more. Because like I said, and this is back to energetics, we're going to learn the techniques, but we always want our energetics aligned and to combine with the techniques. So let me ask you some questions. For journaling, some of you have already started to answer this first question, but I'll ask it again, or I'll ask it for those of you that haven't answered. What fears come up for you when you consider sharing some harder truths as you see them? I'll put that in the chat too. What are some fears that come up for you when you consider sharing harder truths? that I'll be wrong about them, fear of denial, that I'll be judged, will I lose them as a client, that I am wrong, or that my filter is not their truth. We're gonna address each of these pieces. These are all great. Sometimes it can be a challenge to measure how much the client can handle. We're gonna talk about that too. That I'll be wrong. Yes. That I'll disrupt their process. People pleaser here, that they won't like me anymore. Yep. Rhonda is saying a similar thing. Rejection. The client gets mad at me. Gets stuck in a relationship tangle. Transference. Yes. The relativity of truth. These are all great. Yes, we're gonna address each of these pieces in the techniques. Good. Let's look at a couple of other inner questions first. How often was truth named in your family growing up? And how was the truth shared? Was it supportive or not supportive in the ways that it was shared? So, how often was truth named in your family growing up? And how was the truth shared? Was it supportive, not supportive? Be a little bit with those questions, see what wants to come up. So, the ways that truth was shared or not shared in our families growing up can oftentimes directly impact how we feel about it as practitioners, right? So, I'm seeing in the chat, Amy is saying it was never shared. Melissa's saying the truth was sent like arrows. Kelly's saying truth tellers were punished. Veronica's saying, I don't know if it was ever named. It seemed like every individual had their own truth, and those were often weaponized or thrown at each other. Lisa's saying it was brushed under the carpet, truth spoken and then punished severely, shaming, right? Not named and not supportive. Angela's saying very often and very supportive. We are encouraged to tell the truth. I love that. Screamed or hidden, authoritarian, obey. Yeah, gaslighting, a lot of white lies, right? So we can just really see how much this can impact our energetics when it comes to reflecting a truth. Let me ask a couple of more inner questions on this. Do you have experiences of being told, in your family or otherwise, of being told a hard truth? But having it delivered with love and compassion? And if yes, what's important about that? Do you have experience of being told a hard truth, but it was delivered with love and compassion? And if you have, what's important about that? What did you take from that experience? Take another moment with that one. All right. I'm gonna ask two more questions and then we'll have a little space to hear from a couple of you voice to voice. These shares in the chat are so beautiful, so important. What role does getting defensive play for you in your own reactions to being confronted with truth or feedback? That's a long-winded question. How does getting defensive show up for you when you're confronted with truth or feedback? No judgment in any of this, right? Just all just for awareness. We're creating awareness as we speak. Yeah. Getting defensive shows up as dissociation, shutdown, inner self attack. Yeah, which you're transforming. Shame can come up. It's protective, protecting your ego from dying. Yes. It protect Rhonda's saying it protects me and lets me live in my delusional optimism a bit longer. Yeah. For Greg, it's changing over time. You used to be very defensive because you felt you were being wronged or not good enough. And over time, you've learned to see it as feedback. Yes. Yeah. Feeling your body starting to heat up. Yeah. Yeah. All right. One last question here. Play with this one a little bit. What would you need to believe in order to see your clients as resilient when it comes to reflecting truths? What would you need to believe in order to see your clients as resilient? And you can think about the coaching container too as resilient. When it comes to sharing or reflecting truths. Because oftentimes we're believing old beliefs about our clients, right? Learned from all these other questions that we've been looking at. What would you need to believe in order to see your clients as resilient when it comes to reflecting truths? And Kendra's saying that my client is strong and capable. She's working with me because she wants to expand and grow. Barbara's saying they are whole and complete and don't need me to fix them. Yeah, whole and complete. They feel safe and held in our coaching container. They can separate themselves from actions and behaviors. Yes. Truth always leads to something better. They can take it. Yes. Confronting the truth is necessary for growth. Beautiful. I'd love to hear briefly one or two of your voices. We still have a lot to look at today, but I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What are you seeing and taking so far? What feels important so far? Kendra?
I was going to speak to the fact that I know that we're all here because we're wanting to up our skills as a coach and go deeper there. But what's interesting is when I was writing about how I've responded to, truth being given to me, it reminded me of my relationship with my husband, actually. And I thought, oh, I'm like, now I realize when I speak truth to him, there's this automatic projection of what I did or what, and I mean, I never made him wrong about that, but now I get it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's him just kind of protecting himself because, he's not, and he doesn't do this kind of thing. So he's protecting himself. And so we're learning so much here and how to be even better practitioners with our clients. But I'm already seeing how this spills over into motherhood and being a wife and a friend. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I said that in our opening. Like we're here, because we want to build our businesses and be better coaches, but this is we can apply this everywhere in our lives. It's so important. I'm so glad you're seeing that and excited for the possibility of what can shift in those interactions with your husband with that awareness. Thank you. Barbara.
Good morning. I wanted to just kind of piggyback on what Kendra was saying and how I built with my wife a relationship where feedback is just a norm and we are able to, just kind of take it in and rest with it and try not to get defensive and that kind of thing. But I guess I don't like automatically assume, and I certainly didn't have that growing up, that everybody else is at that level where that kind of feedback and, reflecting the truth or whatever it is, that they're, that they have that resilience and that kind of, I think it's a kind of a self-esteem issue for, like when I'm thinking about my family anyway, it's like you have to have enough self-esteem, in my view, to hear that hard feedback or that, something you didn't want to hear and not like totally crumble or get really pissed at the other person, and just, shut down. I think that was why I was thinking about, oh, my client might shut down and that breaking that trust or diminishing it anyway. And yeah, so I think that that's, for me, that's a really important element that, just because I'm, have created a problem or not doing something well or whatever doesn't make me a bad person, doesn't make me less than whole or less than complete or perfectly imperfect. I kind of like that one.
Yes to all those things. I'm so glad that's coming through. And thank you. There's a lot of hands raised. I may not get through all of them right now, but we'll do a couple more. Annalise.
Wow, Joanna, this was huge, really huge. I've just realized how many times in my coaching sessions, just for the sake of being positive and leaving the client with a positive approach and motivational, I have avoided doing this. And I've just realized this is just absolutely huge today, Joanna. Honestly, it just opened a world on, this fear of being, like the client not being able. I know that they're capable, but some of them, maybe in that moment, may feel shattered. And what do I do with it? And then they feel shattered, and then I feel rejected, and then it gets convoluted.
Yes.
And I really do want to go to the bottom of this because I've just realized that without that, there is no true transformation.
Yeah, the creating awareness is so important. And there are ways, we'll get to it in a few minutes, to deliver it that it doesn't have to shatter. there may be discomfort, and that's okay. Discomfort is often a part of growth, right? It's not, right, even like bones, it hurts a little bit when they grow. But we if we're trying to avoid, if we're discomfort avoiders, I can tell you for certain there are awarenesses that are wanting to be created in sessions that aren't getting created. So I'm so glad that you're seeing all of that. I can feel you're really, it's working through you. Good.
And I'm also seeing that by actually bringing into light this fear of rejection and just really accepting it, I am not going to be, if they react in a way that is uncomfortable, I am not going to be convoluted in it. I just realized that, Joanna. I am just going to be holding it lovingly.
Yes.
So thank beautiful. You. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Good. Amy.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I had just a very personal revelation around these journaling questions, where in my home, we got beat for lying. If we were caught lying, we got beat. And also, we weren't allowed to tell the truth at the same time. So the truth was never spoken, and we got in trouble for lying. And this really constellated something in me that was like, I became an intense appeaser and people pleaser for my own protection. But then also, as I grew up, became like really devoted to radical honesty. And I just hadn't realized how deep the roots of all that was until right now, until these journaling questions. So, yeah.
I'm so glad it's coming through and you're seeing that. And mm-hmm. I can just feel from how you're sharing and the energy with it, that seeing those roots is bringing something really important together for you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Marianne.
Hey, kind of along those lines, and thanks for that share, Amy. My family definitely had a dysfunctional relationship with the truth for sure. And I feel like I was the one growing up who like didn't understand why, and the things that the truth wasn't shared with in my family were stupid things. Like they didn't really seem to have a point. I understand more about the dynamic now, but it's so interesting. Like I feel like I've gotten pretty good, and maybe because coaching was a container where I could be a purveyor of truth in a really healthy way, because I didn't experience it growing up. And the kind of coaching that I've been doing, like I've had to really dispel myths and misinformation, if you will, about people were on a pathway. And I would just got really upfront about, you know, there's going to be times where I'm going to tell you, something that's what you need to hear. It's not going to be what you want to hear, but I think reframing that really helps. But I'm really just fascinated by this conversation of like, I never really thought that much about how it related to my personal relationship with the truth. And, I know we're just kind of scratching the surface a little bit here, but I'm really fascinated to do a little further journaling on it. I think it's so interesting. And I guess I'm grateful given the past that I think I do a pretty good job. And obviously I'm here to learn how to do that even better and in different ways, but it just coming up is really fascinating. Like, and maybe that's, you know, there's so many things that drew me to coaching since way back when, and part of it is there's kind of an inherent honesty to the process, you know, and a directness and a compassion around the way our process supports people. And maybe I was inherently drawn to that because it was the opposite of what my experience. Maybe I craved it in some way, but anyway, I just appreciate the conversation and the questions, and thanks to those who have shared.
Yeah, I love everything that you're sharing. And just to kind of piggyback on something that you didn't outright say, but I think is important, is in addition to the results that can happen for clients when we show up in this way, the container itself can become a corrective vehicle for those old dynamics if we can reflect truth with love, where everybody gets their dignity and everybody gets their agency as well. Yeah. Janae.
Hi. Yeah, I think this is really powerful in just having everything clear that what is the fastest path to healing and you know, to be able to see where you want to be. So if you've been gaslighting yourself, how can you get right from A to B, where you want to be, right? And I think it's so beautiful what you're sharing. If we have this beautifully tight container where our client knows that we want the best for them and that we see them, love them, and respect them, then what is coming to the light is so powerful. It's yeah. just wow. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And well, that's, I think, a great segue into looking at how, like, so then how do we do this? We're going to look at a bunch of different ways. And the segue there is step number one, strong container, right? Yeah. Existing strong container with yeah. our clients. It helps so yeah. much. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, let's get to how to reflect hard truths. And we're going to look at a couple of different ways. But before we get to the different ways, for all four of those ways, what we want to do first is the same for all of them. The inner pieces are the same for all of them. So let me share those first. So number one, just as we're with our clients, one question that we want to keep top of mind is this: what is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or to their results? I'm going to put that in the chat. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or their results? That is a great question to keep in mind when you're looking for, okay, is this something that I need to create awareness on? What should I be creating awareness on? That's number one. Number two, as we said earlier, you may want to ask questions that, you know, kind of get, you may decide you don't want to go in direct to reflect the truth. We'll talk about that in a moment. Ask questions. When you identify something that your client isn't seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut, then the next question you want to ask yourself is, you want to check in with your inner wisdom and you want to check in on whether or not the client is ready to hear this. Now, this is not a perfect science. I wish I could tell you, like, this and this and this and this means the client is ready, and this and this and this means the client is not. But some of the things that you can think about are, what is my client's mood today? Where is their nervous system at today? Do they have a history of being defensive? Just because they do doesn't mean that it's not time to share the truth, right? But you kind of want to think about those things and check in with your inner wisdom. Does the client feel ready? Next piece, this piece is so important. be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be wrong. Our job is not to always be right. And the moment that we think that that is our job is like it just blocks so much and can really also take us off course when we go to reflect a truth, because that's when we end up guruing our client if we think that it's not okay to be wrong. That's when we don't leave enough space for our client's agency, when we think that it's not okay to be wrong, when we're not willing to be wrong. That's where we may not reflect the truth at all, if we're not willing to be wrong. Right, so there may be some inner work for you around here. Do you believe that you need to be right all the time? Can you still feel valid and enough if you're not right all the time? And I can share with you that there are plenty of times when I reflect a truth that I think I'm seeing, and it's not the client's truth, but the reflection of it and the way that I did it to allow for them to have their agency and being willing to be wrong, that created the next awareness for them or the breakthrough. So Sophie's asking, can you say more about guruing the client? Yeah, so what I mean by that is, have you ever had a practitioner where they're like, this is what it is, this is what I see, and they don't leave any room for you to feel otherwise? I once had a situation where I was at one of those big, like, 3-day live events where it was like a big sell fest. The coach was like trying to sell things. It's a long story how I got there, but anyway, we were looking at time, and he was teaching about how to like magically manifest more time, which I was very interested in because I really wanted to manifest more time. I had a 6-year-old, and then my younger one had just been born less than a year before. I had a busy business. Like, I was wanting to manifest time. And he was teaching the things, and I just wasn't seeing how it could work for me. And then they opened up, you know, you'd like go to the microphone and you have to speak in front of the hundreds of people. And I don't like to do that, but I really wanted a breakthrough in this area. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I went to the microphone and I explained how, you know, the principles that he was teaching didn't feel like it applied to me because I had all of this fullness in my life right now, and the baby and all the things. And he paused and he looked straight at me and he said, you know what your problem is? Your problem is that you just don't like your work enough. And I was really wanted a breakthrough. And I was like, okay, maybe he's reflecting a truth here. Let me, you know, take it in. And I was like, no, I love my work. I'm like obsessed with my work. That's not it. And I said that back to him. And he replied to me something like, it doesn't sound like you're coachable right now. You know, you need to accept that you just don't like your work. That's guruing, right? That whole situation is guru. He was not willing to, even from the way he said it, right? You know what your problem is. He was not willing to be wrong in any way. Okay, a couple of other inner pieces before we get to the actual technique. So we want to be willing to be wrong. It's more than okay, right? Like, I have through the years lost my, just any need, because it's, and this is part of the container too, right? Like, we set it up with our clients, I set it up of like, I'm not always going to have the answers. Sometimes I'll toss things to you. You always know best, right? So then I don't have to feel bad about not always knowing or being right. Okay. Before you go to reflect a truth, the other thing you want to do is reconnect to your love of your client and to the trust that they are whole and complete exactly as they are. The energetics, right, are so important before you reflect a hard truth. Feel that love, that deep love for your client. Equalize the playing field. Trust that they're whole and complete already. All right, let me pause there. Anything that's coming together for you that you want to share on these energetic pieces before we go to actually reflect the truth? Randa.
I guess the willingness to be wrong part, and this may come from having had experience even just last week with someone who I was working with, and I expressed a truth, and it was a literally repeat of exactly two things that she had said that were contradictory, and it was taken quite defensively and thrown off, and she couldn't drop into the session for the whole next hour and was offended by it an hour later. So that willingness to be wrong definitely like pulled me back. And I feel like there's such a trust between the energetic of setting the container and having them be open, being vulnerable. And if there is something that's wrong that is expressed from, say, my end, and doesn't that potentially fray the trust between them?
I didn't hear is something potentially what you cut out.
Oh, fraying the trust between of them looking, saying, I come to you for expertise and for coaching, and what you said is wrong or in it, and they've been vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we go to the technique, I'm going to give some language that can help mitigate that from the get-go. Now, it's not foolproof. It's not like 100%. I wish it was, but the language that I'll give will help mitigate a lot of that. And then that being said, you know, as you just said, it does go back to the overarching container, and it may be, you don't have to do this, but if you see that this happens with some clients, it may be that at the very beginning, and this gets worked into your welcome packet and even the first session, that you say, I know that you're here for my expertise and, you know, XYZ, and I've got a lot of it. And also, I'm not an encyclopedia or a robot. A lot of what we do is going to be coming together in brainstorming with my expertise, or, you know, however you want to language it, so that it gets baked in from the get-go to the container that this isn't about you have all the answers all the time.
Well, and the example from last week was, I wasn't wrong. I was literally repeating the words that came out of her mouth, and it was just super rejected. And I felt like just didn't know what to do with that. Like it was trying to correct the situation without backpedaling too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a great phrase for that, and you know, we can't always know, but, and you've probably heard me already say it just in a few weeks, but a great phrase for that is, I might not be getting this right, so let me know. Or let me know if I heard this correctly. What I think I heard you just say was blah, 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 blah. So even just a little, like adding a flourish like that in with the reflecting, it, again, like it opens up the agency, and then it doesn't, there's less defensiveness because you're saying like, you ultimately know, I think I heard this, I'm not sure, let's get to what it was that you just said.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's helpful.
I personally think in that one situation, she might not be looking to me for that kind of information and advice. So it's just like, I don't know if you want to worry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's that too.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. Michaelyn.
I'm sure you're going to get to this because you're already saying you're going to give us some things to say, but I just, for me, I really emphasize permission and just asking for permission and even asking for permission in provocative ways. Like, wow, I just heard you say something and I want to reflect it back to you. And is this might be bold, but did you just say blah, blah, blah? And, or can I ask you a really like challenging question? Is that okay? Or did I say, you know, what you wanted me to say? Or how are you feeling about what I just said? You know, there's a lot of ways of meeting them and being on their side, even as I'm like confronting them and challenging
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly where we're going next. And it's all the examples you just gave are beautiful examples of both asking for permission plus pre-qualifying. And that's it's such a great combo. So let's jump in since we're getting there. There's a couple of ways to reflect a hard truth. So the first way, I call it slow and steady. The first way is slow and steady. So first step of slow and steady, just like Michaelyn just said, you wanna ask permission. You wanna ask permission before you actually share. And all of the language that Michaelyn just shared, great language. Another version of it, there's something I'm noticing about what you're sharing that you may or may not be aware of. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? Or I think I just heard you share something pretty big and potentially edgy. Is it okay if I share it with you? Or, you know, I think I'm hearing something that I would like to share with you, and it may be a little uncomfortable at first. Would it be okay for us to look at that together? That last one, every now and again I'll use it, not very often, because sometimes it's like you say you're gonna, they maybe don't have to be so uncomfortable. It's like you're signaling to them to be, but sometimes, you know, that kind of language can work as well. So number one, in slow and steady, ask permission. And so you get the permission, then the next thing, and this is similar to what I was sharing with Randa, be willing to be wrong, right? So then you may say something like, I might not be getting this right, and I trust your inner wisdom, so you let me know on this, but I've noticed X, right? Whatever X is. I notice you tend to self-sabotage every time you have a success. I've noticed that you're such a confident person, but when it comes to networking, you just lose all your confidence, right? Whatever it is. And then after you share whatever the reflection is, then here are the magic words. Am I getting that right? Am I getting that right? By doing this, I might not be getting this right. I trust your inner wisdom, right? So you let me know, and then you share, and then you ask, am I getting that right? We're setting the stage for less defenses. We're setting the stage for like the client to have some openness to consider. It's not like those arrows that one of you shared in the chat, like boom, 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 right? But we're exploring. We're not saying the thing that's wrong with you, right? Like that coach did. You know what your problem is, right? It's we're opening a topic for exploration. Right? And then that gives the client opportunity to say, yeah, you know, I think you are getting that right. Or maybe they'll be like, you know, I don't think that is quite right. I think it's this. Right? And then you can follow up with questions and more exploration. So that's slow and steady. That's one way of reflecting the truth, reflecting a hard truth. Here's another way, personal anecdote way. So personal anecdotes can be very powerful in creating awarenesses while at the same time normalizing something potentially uncomfortable. We don't want to overuse personal anecdotes, which you probably know some practitioners that do. And we only want to use personal anecdotes when they're absolutely applicable, right? When they're really gonna work to create an important awareness. And if we've worked, if it's something that we've needed to work through personally, you know, that we've worked through it. So how do you share a personal anecdote to reflect a hard truth? So similar, first thing, you're gonna ask permission to tell the personal anecdote. We very rarely, sometimes clients can get annoyed if you share a personal anecdote. You know, they're like, oh my God, this is my time. Why are you sharing about you, right? So I like to, I don't always do it, but I sometimes like to ask permission. For example, your situation reminds me of something similar that happened to me. Can I share? I think it would be beneficial for your learning here. Right, so ask permission. And then you share the anecdote briefly with only the pieces that are important to create awareness. Using it also, as I said, to normalize if that is something that's going to be powerful for the client. I was just listening to Brené Brown on a podcast. And she said something that I loved. She said, normalizing is the opposite of pathologizing. Normalizing is the opposite of pathologizing. And then if the client says, yeah, yes, I'd like to hear, then you, like I said, you share the anecdote. And then when you're done, you don't just leave it there. And then you want to say something like, how might this relate to your situation? Or if it doesn't relate to situation to your situation, let me know where I might be off here. That's very similar to the, I might not be getting this right, or, and then at the end, am I getting it right, right? After you share it, so leaving full agency in case they don't think their personal anecdote fits, your personal anecdote fits for them. I'm going to move a little quickly. I want to share these two other ways and then open up for cues, and then we hopefully will have time for one other piece. A third way of reflecting hard truths, even though I said we're going to get to questions, we'll look a lot at questions, but this is kind of like a half reflecting, half questioning technique. I'm putting it in this section because in this type of reflecting the truth, you're asking it in question form, but it is similar to kind of some of the other pieces we looked at. You're introducing language into your questioning that the client hasn't yet used. You're introducing questioning language into the question that your client hasn't yet used, and that language is the reflection. So for example, let's say you have a client and they're sharing with you that they're working all the time. They don't want to work as much as they do, but they're doing it anyway, and it's affecting their life, and you know, they're just going on and on about it. So in this third way is much more direct. You might say something like, when did you decide that you were going to risk everything in your life, even your health, for your work? It's creating an awareness that they're risking everything in their life, even their health, for their work, but you're delivering it as a question. Now, this is definitely more of a zinger than the first two ways that we looked at. You want to make, you know, and how you decide to reflect the truth is going to be so much about where your client is that day or who your client is, right? How they respond, the nature of what you're reflecting. You don't have the permission piece in there. The client might still disagree. Like, I'm not risking everything, right? And that's okay too. Still be willing to be wrong. It's all good. You can say, okay, great. So if it's not risk, what do you think is going on here, right? Or however you're going to follow up with that. But so this third way is a little bit more of a direct zinger way. And then the fourth way is also direct. Again, only for certain situations. I call this one bold and beautiful. You need a very tight container with your client for this. You need to really have a sense that your client can handle it. And when you're being bold, it doesn't mean that you're not delivering with total love and utter respect and knowing that your client is whole and complete. So examples of bold and beautiful, you know, if it's the right moment, are, for example, my BS detector is going off right now. Or, I don't believe that you actually really want that. Or, it sounds to me like you're hiding your power in this situation. Right? So that bold and beautiful, if it's the right moment, if it's a tight container, much more direct. Okay. There's still one more piece I want to take a look at today if we end up having time. If not, we'll just look at it next week. But I feel like it's a good moment to take a pause and ask if there are any questions on the four techniques that I just shared for reflecting hard truths. Slow and steady, personal anecdote, half reflecting, half questioning, and then bold and beautiful. Any cues on that? And if you had a question in the chat, I missed it, so please raise your hand. Brenda. You there, Brenda?
I said the whole question on mute. So I was taking notes and I got on the slow and steady. I got the first and third one, but I didn't get the second one.
The steps.
Can you repeat the second one? There was the ask permission. There's the two. I think I'm hearing something I'd like to share with you. Maybe a little uncomfortable. Let's look at it together.
Yep.
And then there's another way I missed and something, am I getting that right? But there was something in between and I missed that.
I might not be getting this right and I trust your inner wisdom. So let me know. And then you share what you're seeing or sensing. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, but I think there was another one.
Oh, was there another cue in there? I was rattling off questions as some that weren't in my notes, so I don't remember what the third was. Maybe somebody took notes on that. I'm so sorry.
I'll look at the transcript. It's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. Marianne.
I'm so curious. I love the idea of the zinger, and I'm not sure I've used that much before. It does seem like that one and kind of the bold and beautiful are more of a like a jolt to them sort of approach. And I'm curious, just my guess would like, here's my question, I guess. I'm trying to figure out like, when would you recommend using that? A situation that comes to mind where I'm questioning, could I have used this, was a client who had kind of been stuck in the same rut for a while, coming up with the same question and issues for a while and not really getting beyond. is that a time when you might throw like a zinger in to just, yeah, like exactly. They're not getting
it's like
it.
A height, getting it's it. A heightened moment. It okay. disrupts the pattern and it's like a, okay. right? So again, you need a tight container. Client yeah. needs to be in the right place that day. But that's when I would use one of those to kind of disrupt the pattern or create like a heightened dramatic moment.
Interesting. Thank you so much. Look yeah. forward to trying that one out.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, and Amy, Brenda, Amy got it in the chat. That was the last one that I had shared. And also Sophie did too. Yeah, there was a bunch there. Question about, did somebody ask Annalise an example of a personal anecdote, right? So let's say I'm working with a client and they're telling me about their, because I work with clients on their client work, right? They messed up something with a client, but they're maybe blaming the client for it, right? Which we can often happen, like, oh, it's the client's fault, blah, 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 right? So I might tell a personal anecdote in that moment. I was like, I remember there was a time when this exact thing happened, and I did this and this, and it just like, it felt like the client was so wrong. But as I looked at it more deeply, I realized that my energetics were a little bit off there. And the way that I approached that question maybe put the client on the defensive. Is it possible that that might be what's happening here for you right now? Okay, we have 6 minutes and I think I'm gonna try to get this in our last 6 minutes. So we looked at the really hard, like the hard ways of reflecting truths, like reflecting hard truths. But I do just wanna point out that there's plenty of times when we're gonna wanna create awareness for truths that aren't hard to take in. And I am somebody, as I said earlier, I think there are a lot of moments in a session for simple creating awareness after a client shares something that's significant. Well, there are a couple of times you want to do this, but there are moments where you're going to want to pause and create awareness. So throughout a session, anytime a client shares something that's significant, as I said earlier, something that maybe they haven't fully embraced or some an important piece, I'm going to create awareness then. I'm also going to do it if a client has just shared a lot of details in a story. Before I start asking questions, I'm going to use this technique that I'm about to share with you again. It's just like a pause reflect technique. So after a client either shares something significant or shares something with many, many details, I usually say, okay, let's pause here for a moment. This is what I'm hearing, and I want to make sure I'm getting it right. And then I'll reflect back. And if it's a long story, I'll emphasize the most important parts that are wanting emphasis. And that's it, right? And then I'll leave it there. It seems like such a simple thing. Like, why would you want to just say, let's take a pause, this is what I'm hearing? You don't even have to say, I want to make sure I'm getting it right. With a long story, I like to say that sometimes. It's so powerful and so simple and elegant. It's a way of helping a client feel seen, heard, and loved, as well as creating awareness. Because, and this is important, sometimes a client can speak the truth, but just because they said the words, it doesn't mean that they've actually fully taken it in, that they are embodying what they just said. And so this mirroring technique, it's really just a mirroring technique, pausing, this is what I'm hearing, gives your client space and opportunity to take their truth in. With the longer story, the mirroring is to pull out the most important pieces so that we can move forward with them. So you can do this, you say, this is what I'm hearing. You can, another way of mirroring, you can say, as you were just sharing that, I had an image of you growing, right? Whatever the image that you saw, right? That's just a simple way of creating awareness and mirroring. As you just said that, what I heard in my head was, oh, she is so ready for this, right? Some, I say this a lot because it's true. If somebody says something that was just important, I'll say like, oh, I just got chills when you said that. I'm not just saying that to say that. It's a moment of pausing and creating a deeper awareness on what was just said. Mirroring is such a powerful tool. A lot of research done on babies. We all have mirror neurons inside of us. When a baby sees a face that is smiling, they smile back. When a baby smiles, if the face looking at it smiles back, they feel validated. If a baby is grimacing and you grimace back to the baby feels validated. This is a huge sales technique, like really experienced salespeople. If a client kind of crosses their arms, if the prospect crosses their arms and leans back, the salesperson does that. It makes those mirror neurons make the client more receptive to the sales piece that the salesman is going to say next coming out of their mouth. Okay, I did it with a minute left. So before we wrap for today, you'll have homework. There'll be a worksheet there. If you're a seasoned coach working with clients this week, I want you to think about, from everything we looked at today, what's your edge? And what do you want to play with your clients this week around this? If you've got a coaching partner, in that session, practice reflecting truths, either hard ones or simple reflecting and mirroring. Use your listening skills as you hold space for your coaching partner. And keep the question that we looked at in mind. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or results? Keep on coming back to that. If you have time to share a takeaway, please do in the chat. If not, just note for yourself, what are you taking away from our time together? And I'm happy to answer any last question. We're wrapped, but I'm happy to hang on for a minute or two if anybody has any questions. Anyone want to ask me anything? Marianne wants a zinger, an opportunity for a zinger. I hope you get one. I think if you look for one, you'll find one. All right. I'm sending you all lots and lots of love. Have a great week. If you need anything, just let me know. I'm around. Well, I'm actually not fully around. I'm going to be a little bit on vacation, but post in the Facebook group and I'll get back to you. All right. Have a great rest of your day.